Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We're about to go around the NFL. A couple people still weighing in on the question of the day of what's something you just never finished? 832. I feel like you're still hurting on this one. They said 6 hours for their from their degree and not finishing, which, okay, so my brain went six, like, physical hours, six credit hours.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. You can always finish that up. Ain't no problem. Go ahead and do that. If you have the money and the time, of course. But then this is the one that I imagine hurt. Not walking their daughter down the aisle.
Oh, no.
Just got a call one day, said that they went and got married at the courthouse.
Oh, man.
That one will hurt you, right?
That you can't do that, man. Don't do that to your parents.
I think you can lope. I think, feel like just it would be nice if you were gave them the opportunity to let them know. Like, because, they said just went down to the courthouse, which didn't feel quite like a lope. Maybe it was. But I'm like, at least let the parents have an opportunity. Like, hey, this is what we want to do. Want to be at the courthouse? If you want to pop out, you can pop out.
If you had a chance to have, like, it ain't got to be no big wedding where you're spending a lot of money. But if you had a chance for some type of little ceremony, you should
do it.
Yeah, just going to do it. Yeah. Especially if it's not breaking the bank.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right. Something that I was about to try and tie it in. Don't worry about it. We got news, ladies and gentlemen, about your Houston Texans.
Speaking of marriages.
The worst transition ever. Speaking of
Houston
marriages,
and football.
Houston, yeah, well, that's actually not that. Y'all kind of cooked. That collaboration works. Houston and football, we are very close to getting that back in a pretty good way in training camp. Houston, Texas training camp, which is going to be presented by Xfinity. It's beginning July 23rd. We got dates, we got times, and we got a pretty interesting announcement as well within there.
I got it all right here. You want me to read it for you?
Go for it, John Lopez.
Texans training camp presented by Xfinity is beginning Wednesday, July 23rd.
Okay.
The practice, 7 training camp practices will be free and open to all fans.
Okay, so go ahead and
I'll say it slowly so you can
write it down.
Write it down in your mind's
eye. All right.
Or remember it in your mind's eye or write it down. Saturday, July 26th. Monday, July 28th. Tuesday, July 29th. Wednesday, July 30th. Friday, August 1st. Saturday, August 7th. And Thursday, August 14th. Open training camp practices. Now, here's a couple.
Okay, so it's 1 week straight of open training camp practices from the 26th to the 1st of August.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or 2nd of August. So that 1 week, as obviously Sunday being an off day. And then Thursday of the 14th is also another open practice.
Right. And then there's this, which is interesting. You know, I've often believed that D'Amico Ryans really enjoys getting away and practicing, you know, elsewhere, get the team together, the bonding, the unity, all that stuff. Once again, first time since Deshaun Watson's rookie season, if I remember that correctly.
Is that the
correctly.
Framework that we needed to use
Well,
here?
It was just I remember.
You can just use the year, huh?
I remembered being there, watching this kid, thinking, yeah, he's pretty good.
Because y'all actually traveled there.
Yeah, we
y'all
traveled
did the
there.
Show from there.
We did the show from there. Yes, we did. So, buried the lead a little bit, but the team is going to travel for 4 off-site training camp practices at the Greenbrier in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, August 4th through the 7th. That's right ahead of their game against the Minnesota Vikings. And then they're going to also travel to Detroit, Michigan for a joint practice before their preseason game against the Lions. One more note here. Joint practice with the Carolina Panthers is going to take place on Thursday, August 14th in Houston. So,
So that's the 14th, and that one is, again, open. So it's the joint practice with the Panthers, which joint practices are super, super useful.
Love them. Love them, love them. Like, so 7 training camp practices open. They start July 23rd. They're going to West Virginia August 4th through the 7th for 4 practices. Then they're going to Detroit for a joint practice. And then they're going to have a joint practice against the Panthers here on August 14th.
Biggest, for you, biggest portion within that news that you rolled out, obviously, about the Texans training camp. Which one, if you had to create the hierarchy there, Because I think there's one, but I wonder if it actually matters as much considering how this Texans team is situated.
Well, just as a fan, as someone who follows this team for years, the joint practices, all of them. All of them to me are kind of in a tie for first. But then, you know, obviously we're going to be out there broadcasting at training camp from the very beginning. So you can catch, and we get players right off the field. I'm sure we'll get them again this year. So you can stay plugged in with Sports Radio 610. But also, the West Virginia thing is going to be big for this squad. You know, 4 days, they stay there. There's a big hotel. It's a little cooler.
Just a little.
It can be a lot cooler. Yeah.
Although right now, that area of the country, I don't know if West Virginia is quite hitting it.
But it's up in the mountains a little bit. The mountains
ain't no joke, man.
Yeah, they're no joke at all.
Don't go over there in the wintertime.
So it's a little cooler. And that's August. So that one would be up there as well.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I always find it interesting, the teams that go away, because you are in this, like, you know, it's out of town trip, right? Mm-hmm. It is a dorm experience. You have to kind of room with people. You're not just at the house that you normally are. You're not going about your normal things outside of, like, everything is kind of work. It is a work trip in all sense of the word, which forces you to come together. And I think you see the reason why I'm going, okay, how big of a deal is that? Because this Texans team is as together as a football team really often is. Like, I don't know that you often will see a football team as cohesive, as much of a singular unit at times as this Texans team is. Maybe the place that I look at is the offense in particular, and maybe the offensive line, especially finding a level of cohesion with time together. But it feels like this team has done a good job of trying to create that themselves by, you know, coming in, you know, the time where you were not mandated, and coming and working together and running routes together and throwing the ball and those types of things. So I think obviously it can only serve to help, but it feels like it might not be as important for me getting the opportunity to have, as you mentioned, the joint practices, especially the one against the Panthers here. But the opportunity to get against some of these teams and work out some of those things that I would argue, and I wonder how you feel, that the joint practices matter more than the preseason games.
I've always said that.
For your team.
Yeah.
Because you can drill down specifically on, well, run this play back, and we want to do this in particular, and we want to test this weakness of the defense and this weakness of the offensive line.
I want to see that again.
Yes.
You can do that.
Yes, and so I think that's what I'm most looking forward to. And we knew that these joint practices were coming, but now we know we have dates, and we know especially that they'll be open. At least the Carolina Panthers one will be open to the public.
And there's a reason that even, you know, if we just personalize it to our own lives, no matter what business you're in, including our trip to the Super Bowl, there's a reason that you do these trips together, because they do build a certain something for that team, whether it's your accounts payable team or your on-air team or whatever.
I'm interested. You brought up accounts payable, and this is just a very clear indication that I ain't never really had an office job in my life. Do they be doing that in them jobs? Well, I guess
all,
like, if you go to a conference, right? Like, it's the out-of-town conference where y'all go. But, like,
heck, my wife's going to a conference in October. She just told me about school directors.
Huh.
School directors and your staff going to a conference in Arizona. There's a reason.
It's always a conference in Arizona
always,
for some reason.
Because, look, when you're trying to do the conference, yes, we got to get together to talk about this work stuff, but also they'd be like, so where can we go to have fun? Right? I imagine that one in particular, Arizona, is whoever directed that one and put together was like, all right, so let's make sure to close it by 5. Or maybe, you know what? Let's get out by 3. I can hit a tee time, get one round of golf in.
Now, you can do that at the Greenbrier. I don't know about the, quote, fun part. It's kind of hard to get to, but you can play golf at the Greenbrier. You can gamble. There's a casino there. And there that type
you see
of
his
thing.
Eyes light up when he said
ooh,
that.
I had some fun in that
you
casino.
You can gamble,
man.
There.
I had some fun in that casino. I actually played a little dice they just walked by. They didn't play with Cal and Hannah. When they were in the casino there that one
night.
See
how that story almost lied real quick. He's like, wait, let me not.
There's a reason people do these things together, because they work, they bond, or maybe they even splinter. You know, you never know. But in this case, the Texans, 4 days, 5 days in West Virginia, you got to feel that's going to help them.
Oh, is that pressure creates diamonds and burst pipes? Is that what you're doing there?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. All right, some other things around the NFL. I now take you to the Aaron Rodgers news desk. Obviously, that has been a beat that we've had here around the NFL. And the leader of that beat, Pat McAfee of the Pat McAfee Show. We're back, baby. Aaron Rodgers talking to Pat McAfee. It's football season. Pat McAfee was told by now Steelers quarterback that Aaron Rodgers is, quote, pretty sure that the 2025 season will be his final of his story career. Quote, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to put any extra years on that or anything. This was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I've played for freaking 20 years now. You know, it's been a long run. I've enjoyed it. What better place to finish than the one that one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL with Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys and a city that expects you to win. Close quote.
Cool story. You can't believe that.
Really?
You don't believe that?
Aaron Rodgers loves the limelight. He says he doesn't. He said it on the McAfee show. You know, he doesn't ask for this. He doesn't like it. Blah, 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 blah. He does. He's always looking for the attention. Now he has developed yet another mystery. He didn't say, I am retiring after this year. He said, yeah, I'm probably going to retire. There's a big difference there. There's a big, big difference there in what he said.
I think that for me, the interesting part for me was just he's talking a lot like a dude who is about to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Except the season ain't started. Training can't even start. It hasn't even started yet. Which makes me wonder, how committed to the grind is he?
Well, you know what Bill Parcells said, right?
Once you start talking about retire, you already retired.
That's it. Once you start talking about retirement, you're already retired.
Yeah. Ooh, this is going to be an interesting season for the Steelers now, ain't it?
I felt like he probably leaving the door open just in case he have a little spark.
Yes, yes.
But if he don't have a spark and it's a complete bleep show,
mm-hmm.
then, yep, that's it.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, I mean, he can still spin it. Now, the mobility that seems part and parcel of his game, especially as he has gone through it, that is going. But, like, he can still spin it. If he does actually have, if he gets in there in his mentality and he feels like, oh, I can still do this, I can understand a team trying to, well, with the huge caveat of if he wanted to be a team player, because that's the thing that makes this all untenable, is that you have a particular MO, Aaron Rodgers, that makes dealing with your guff. It makes it hard to put up with unless you were actually cooking to a high degree. He mentioned Mike Tomlin in there. Mike Tomlin, one of 10 head coaches that show up on Pro Football Focus's top 10 returning head coaches for this season. I know you already saw this, so we can't do the fun of having you guess.
Yeah.
But I'll read this from 1 to 10, and you tell me if they got this right, if you agree with this ranking. Andy Reid, number one.
This is in order, top 10 coaches.
Top 10 coaches in order. Andy Reid, number one. We feeling that?
Yeah.
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 Sean Payton, number two. Okay, what's the complaint? What's the complaint that you have here?
You got to put him up there. I mean, you know, we talked a lot about Sean Payton when he was mentioned with this squad, and there was a lot of, diverse opinions on just how good he might be here. One thing that is undeniable, he's been very good in Denver, but two is too high.
Okay.
I would put him 8 or 9.
8 or 9?
Yeah, 7 maybe.
He's definitely, after last season, he's definitely a top 10 coach right now.
Yeah, he is a top 10 coach, but not two.
And at the risk of shading Bo Nix more than I already have, just generally, man, the way he got Bo Nix humming is crazy to me.
Yeah.
With all due respect to Bo Nix, because I thought coming in that he, you know, last few years in college where he figured himself out was he was just older than these other kids was the way that this happened. But no, he ran an NFL offense in a very good way. So shout out to Sean McVay, because I think that he had Sean Payton, who had a large role in that. Number three is Sean McVay of the Rams. That feel good to you?
I feel pretty good with that one.
John Harbaugh at 4, the Ravens head coach.
Yes.
Mike Tomlin, as I mentioned, at 5.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so not higher for Mike Tomlin there then. But I saw someone looking at it.
I would bump them all up. Although, wait a minute. I wouldn't bump them all up. I would put number 9 where number 2 is.
All right, so just to finish this out, Tomlin at 5. Jim Harbaugh, the other, the Chargers head coach, at 6. Kyle Shanahan behind Jim Harbaugh at 7 for the Niners. Nick Sirianni at 8, of course, as a bleep you to me in particular. And then 9 is Dan Campbell, or Man Campbell, as I like to call him. Kevin Stefanski rounds it out at 10. No D'Amico Ryans.
No D'Amico Ryans.
On the top 10.
Hurt, but not necessarily surprised. I think he probably deserves to be on the fringe, but those are some damn good coaches. And I'd put Dan Campbell number 2. Not only worth what they've done, but I was looking at a list. We're not going to necessarily talk about it, but I was looking at a list of top, I think it was 20 players under 25 in the NFL. Did you know the Lions have 5 of them? So they're not only really good, they're young too in key spots.
Yeah, but how much of that would you then put at the feet of Dan Campbell? And then how much of that would you put at the feet of their general manager?
Sure, sure.
And of course, whose name I mean, Brad Holmes.
Yeah, but I think that dynamic is much like here. It's a hand in hand.
Sure, you know, fair enough. Thing. Now, we're going to find out how good of a coaching job Dan Campbell can do, because he came in and he put together a fantastic staff.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson and Andre Glenn, both are no longer there, coaching their own operations. It's going to be, I think I'm always intrigued to see a coach now have to hire their next staff. Yeah. A lot of times in college, but also in the NFL and in the NBA, when you're good and people start taking from your staff, that's one of the reasons why we can look at like a Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. And we know he's good because he's had his staff picked over many a times and it still works. Kyle Shanahan to a similar degree. He's had his staff picked over. Dan Campbell, I think that this is going to be an interesting prove it year. He's done a fantastic change in the culture in Detroit. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what he's able to do with the team as well.
Yes.
As they pick off of it. But yeah, that's around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. What do you need to see, actually, real quick, from D'Amico Ryans to maybe get him on that top 10 list next year?
Just get to another round.
Just the pure wins. There's not anything like particular with him.
Obviously rebounding himself. I mean, they had a good, very good season, all things considered. But I think in the eyes of many, just took a little step back.
All right. Yeah. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I would like to take you into the court of Judge John Lopez. Let's do a little bit of that, where the first thing on the docket is something to do with the University of Texas football team and Arch Manning. We'll talk about that next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Some breaking news happening in the world of sports with your Houston Rockets right now. A lot of things happening on the day of the NBA draft. Remember, we told you that in the next few days, the Rockets were going to have to make a decision on the team option in Fred VanVleet, point guard Fred VanVleet's contract. Well, they've done that. The $44.9 million team option has been declined, so he will not cost that much this year. Don't worry, though. He's not going anywhere, or maybe you weren't worried. Maybe you wanted to see him go. Sorry, he will remain, and at a reasonable number, if you ask me. It looks like they're in agreement on a two-year, $50 million contract with a player option for the second year. So it's a one-plus-one deal, as they would call it colloquially, for Fred VanVleet to remain as a point guard here. I mean, that's a good $20 million savings on what the contract is there.
Yep.
And I think Bobby Marks had kind of hypothesized before that if the Rockets did not pick up the option for Fred VanVleet's contract of $45 million for the upcoming season, that they might do something like a 3-for-90, so a 30 million a year deal for the next three seasons. You get something that's $25 million a year for the next couple years, saving you a little bit more money there as well. And, of course, as I mentioned, $20 million difference between if you had just kept him on that salary. What do you take and what do you make of this particular move? Obviously, we knew Fred was going to remain, but that's a decent amount of savings that the Rockets just
got.
Yeah,
two things we need to talk about here that Rockets fans need to sort of wrap their brain around. Number one, you just touched on, is the cap figure. He was going to get $45 million. He's getting 50 now, but it's over 2 years, and it's a $20 million roughly savings in the cap, the apron, however you want to describe it. So that money right there means there's something else in play. Now, what that something else is, on draft day, no less, maybe the Rockets are still trying to bring in another player. I mean, could it be Jaylen Brown, who has been kind of peripherally linked to the Rockets by some NBA writers? So could it be that? Could it be something else? Could it be even, clearing the space? So who knows? But those are the two things that I think you need to take away from this.
All right, so if I'm doing my math right, looking at Spotrac, which is very good for these salary cap type things, the Rockets previously would have been, with the acquisition of Kevin Durant, somewhere about $16.5 million over just like the flat Or just in the regular tax, before we even talk about aprons, they were just, I believe, one over the first apron. Obviously, they had gotten themselves below, or they stayed below the second apron. This would put them back in, like, under the salary cap, or the salary tax, rather, line, just generally, by maybe somewhere about $4 or $5 million. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much they'd have to sign into the cap, into that regular salary cap, but I mean, into the tax as well. They still have that mid-level exception at $14 mil. So before I get to, like, who they sign, did you like the deal itself? Because I guess some people on Twitter very quickly jumping into that space where they go, overpay, overpay.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that as a sentiment?
No, I don't think he's getting overpaid, but I do think it could be any number of things. You mentioned they're getting under the cap. I don't think it's as simple as we just want to be under the cap.
But, I mean, that could be just saving tax dollars some of it as well.
It could be like, hey, there you go. We're not going to have to pay the luxury tax.
A repeater tax especially.
Yeah. It could be that. I don't think it's that. I think when you have a window open like this and you've already been over, you know, you're willing to pay the luxury tax,
right,
you're going to do it again when you have a chance to win a championship. To me, they're working on something, and that something could well happen today. The draft is today, if you didn't know that.
True.
And, you know, these trades tend to happen, you know, pretty dang quickly right before the draft. I think they're working on something. I just don't know the who. I just speculated Jaylen Brown because I know I've seen him connected.
Right. I do want to talk about that. But just to close out the idea, if anybody's thinking that this is not a good deal money-wise, can I give you the people who are making roughly $25 million on average annual value right now in the National Basketball Association?
Mm-hmm.
The likes of Utah forward John Collins, Golden State Warriors forward Draymond Green, now Boston Celtics shooting guard Anthony Simons is making 25. Jalen Brunson is making $26 million, although Jalen Brunson was on an extremely cheap deal.
He took a really cheap deal.
I mean, Jaden McDaniels, a 3-and-D wing for the Timberwolves, is making $26 million. Mikal Bridges is making 23. He's underpaid himself. Cam Johnson is making 24. Like, these are the level we're talking about, you know.
That's in the wheelhouse.
Role players. And if he is a role player, maybe a little bit higher, but obviously at his age, and he's only doing this for a 1-and-1 where he might opt out himself afterwards and get and see about another deal. Or even if you keep him, 25 is just right in that wheelhouse. You're not overpaying. And I feel like Fred had the opportunity to get to a place where they negotiated into a place where he got maybe even, again, that 30 or a little bit more. It feels like possibly this could be either the Rockets driving a hard bargain, which I don't know how much I believe that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This might be, just like you saw Steven Adams leave a little bit of money on the table, this might be, again, another confirmation of how these players feel about the project that the Rockets have going right
and
now.
What they have. And when Durant is on your team, you understand what the window is. And so you're willing to I mean, he's still getting his money. It's still going to be over 2 years. It's a little more money. It's 50 over two as opposed to the option of 45. So, you know, he's still getting his money, and now he's helping the squad. I can't believe that this is just to stay under the...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are in that space. You go get Kevin Durant. You were second in the West last year. You want to push for it. Mm-hmm. So who are the players that maybe they could be looking at? The high end of this is what you were talking about with Jaylen Brown. Or people are still, and we talked about this yesterday, people are still like, well, Giannis is out there. I think we're in the same place, which is Alperen Şengün has to be the starting point for a trade of that magnitude because of matching salaries. Like it's you know, accounting type things in order to do that. I don't think anybody here is comfortable with making a trade with Alperen Şengün right now, right? Am I wrong? Are you in there if Jaylen Brown is the guy?
No, not with Şengün and Jaylen Brown, but I think there's going to be some options out there. I mean, they might be a Jabari or Atari or something like that. You know, we have to see how it plays out. And of course they have the draft picks too that they can throw in.
Unless you made it like a multi-team deal or what have you in order to make that happen.
Which happened yesterday.
Yeah, I guess that did happen yesterday because what was the trade? Kristaps Porzingis made his way out of Boston.
To Atlanta.
I'm still interested in what they're actually doing. If I mean, but Boston gets their savings, so yeah. they're able to do their money things. I think that the trades that Boston was making was more about creating space for them rather than getting off of Jaylen Brown. So I don't even think that's available. But when we start talking about maybe free agents that you could sign, where you talk about the mid-level exception and then maybe some of the cap space and stuff that you're creating here, although I don't know, I think signing into cap space, you might need to, it might just be the exceptions that you have. There's some players that are out there, especially when we talk about like guards that are out there. Would you want maybe like another point guard or something like that? Aaron Holiday is a free agent. You might sign him back, but would somebody like a Ty Jerome, who really proved himself with Cleveland recently, would anybody like that be interesting to you? Or are you more thinking of trying to find like a wing player, someone like a Nikhil Alexander Walker? I saw myself and Lacey were talking about this on the text line yesterday, who last year only made like $4.5 million. It felt like he made himself a lot of money, but could you maybe convince him to take $14 million and fit into what you're doing to give you another wing guy who can defend and knock down threes to add to your shooting?
I think role players, you know, are obviously going to be important, but I think they have the role players is how I would describe it.
Okay.
They have their role players that they like, that have, you know, that have kind of been in the system and know what Udoka wants. I'm feeling a little bigger swing than that, and I think a wing might be it.
Okay. Yeah. The thing for me about, I would love Nikhil Alexander Walker. I just don't, I feel like he's set to make something like $25 million a year, a lot akin to what Jaden McDaniels made. They played on the same team. They kind of played the same way, and Jaden McDaniels got his paycheck. Now, of course, you have to find someone to give it to you. And maybe the what we're seeing from Steven Adams, what we're seeing from Fred VanVleet, goes further around the league where players look around and go, KD's there. It's a well-built team. It's young. I want to be a part of that, and I'm willing to take less. Maybe, except Nikhil Alexander Walker's made $22 million in his career, and I imagine this is his cash-in point. But if it's not him, could you see teams or other players maybe willing to take a little bit less to come and play with the Rockets? That's all interesting things that I'm willing to see going forward. But yeah, the big news is that Fred VanVleet the team option declined for $45 million. He'll be paid $25 million thereabouts this year on a 1+1, as they call it, a 2-year deal for $50 million $50 million, and then the second year is just an option.
Just stay tuned to us, but also to the Rockets and what they're doing. I just got to feel that
there's something else coming.
This is the first of another move.
Yeah. In addition to that, right, we mentioned, because this is a piece that I want to mention, and we could talk more about it and what's popping if you feel like there's more there for you about the Rockets. The Kristaps Porzingis trade is not devoid of Rockets' importance either. Mm-hmm. So that, to lay it out, Kristaps Porzingis used to play with the Celtics. He played with them last year. The Celtics were paying crazy tax money, so they wanted to save themselves some money. They get off of his contract, send him to Atlanta. The Brooklyn Nets help facilitate this, and they acquire yet another first-round pick. Tonight's draft, the Brooklyn Nets has 5 first-round picks. Not 5 first-round picks for the next 7 years. 5 tonight. And so with that being the case, and the highest one is the number 8. So
They might be trying to move up.
Will they be trying to move up, or will they be trying to get off of one of those? Yeah. And we talked about it. Daniel Lerner of Houston Chronicle did mention that the Rockets could be wanting to trade back in to get a pick if there's a player that falls and if the cost is right. Well, the Brooklyn Nets don't have reason to really drive up the price on getting rid of one of those first round picks that they probably wouldn't even be able to roster.
Yeah.
Could that be the way that the Rockets are back in the first round?
Absolutely could be. Absolutely could be.
Yeah, so I'm maybe that's
I don't feel a draft, though. I don't feel a pick.
You don't feel a draft pick? Yeah. You think
I mean,
this
maybe,
is going to be
but not as the main move for this.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody said Pacers backup point guard is better at $10 million. You guys are idiots. I don't know if you guys should be commentators. Houston could do a lot better than you morons. Well, thank you for listening.
Wait, who's the backup?
I'm guessing they mean TJ McConnell.
So you rather have TJ McConnell
than Fred
start?
VanVleet? I disagree, man. More power to you if you feel that. Like,
salute to you.
The Rockets,
man,
will tell you how much they value Fred VanVleet's experience. And one thing for me that I always look at, I don't know as much. I don't know if that he's given enough credit for like what he does to help organize them defensively.
Oh, 100%.
Like the mentality and the mindset that he has for them. Plus, and we'll talk about this and what's popping, Draymond Green gave him credit in a way for turning up in that. Draymond Green might have helped him, in fact, turn up in that playoff series. And I feel like that might be what took that series to 7 versus the Warriors. So coming up next, let's talk about that and more on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. The news that just came down. There's a couple of pieces of news that came down in the last hour. First and foremost, Fred VanVleet of the Rockets declined his team option for $45 million. He'll sign back to a 2-year, $50 million deal with a player with an option for the second year. So $25 million on an average annual value is a lot better deal that you're working on right now.
Absolutely.
So he will be set to return to your Rockets. But then also, Houston Texans, we mentioned, they announced dates for their for training camp, reporting on the 23rd of July. A nice whole week of practices open and available to the public. And then in addition to that, the joint practice with the Panthers on the 14th of August available and open to the public. But there's also, what, four practices, you said?
Yeah, four. I'll go through it again real quick for those who may not have been listening. The open practices are Saturday, July 26th, Monday through Wednesday, 28th, 29th, and 30th, Friday, August 1st, Saturday, August 2nd, and Thursday, August 14th. That August 14th practice is a joint practice with the Carolina Panthers, and they're going to the Greenbrier in West Virginia August 4th through the 7th ahead of their matchup against the Minnesota Vikings.
So there you go. Go ahead and start looking about getting your tickets for various things, getting out there and seeing your Houston Texans. Get ready for the 2025 season now that you have dates and all that available to you. Some other things that are popping. Salute to the Astros, another one-run game victory, and more. Big salute to two guys in particular, Framber Valdez for another fantastic outing, and Cooper Hummel for being the originator and the scorer of the only run in this game, a 1-0 victory for the Astros in the first game of a three-game set versus the Phillies. 1-0, man. Mm-hmm. What was your big takeaway from this?
Great pitching on both sides. Framber Valdez is no longer good for, or at least... Okay, of course, as soon as I say it, he's no longer good Framber, bad Framber. He's good Framber. 1.89 ERA in his last nine starts. Well-pitched game both sides. Really important to get some runs across the board, start the bats going again starting tonight. And by the way, there's another little piece of news regarding the Astros that has come to light in the last hour, and that is shortstop Jeremy Peña. When we mentioned this yesterday, that he signed on with Scott Boras, and we were all like, oh boy, he's gone, this and that. Well,
not immediately, to be fair, right? Like, he has a contract for this year for arbitration, then he has two more arbitration years as well.
Yeah, but this is where it gets interesting to me. According to John Heyman, who obviously covers baseball for the New York Post, MLB Network, et cetera, he's been around a long time, he said that Peña and the Astros were in discussions for an extension for a deal exceeding $105 million over 5 years. Then he got Scott Boras, and that they are no longer negotiating.
Which, you know what? I'm about to get my big brother.
Yeah. He was like, hold on. I should probably have my lawyer read this first.
That sounds good. I'm not saying that doesn't sound good, but let's see what old Scott Boras thinks about it. And he said, yeah, we're not talking anymore.
That's... Wild.
He said, you ain't about to get me.
That's wild.
About to get Something had to happen within negotiations that made him look to go get a different agent in order to handle this. Because if for you to have already hammered out years in number, like, you're pretty far along in this process for you to then change management and then a representation and then ultimately end up in a place where, no, we're no longer at the table.
5 years, $20 million plus a year.
Which would have been a fantastic deal to get him signed to.
It would have been.
Astros, yeah.
Yeah, for the Astros, yeah, and Astros fans. And then now they're not, the negotiations are off.
I wonder if he hit up Bregman like, hey, is this right? man.
It might have been Bregman. It could have easily been Altuve as
Let me get you my lawyer.
Yeah.
It could have easily been Altuve as well. Because, Jose Altuve is also represented by Scott Boras.
This is a wild development.
It is. Did Heyman at all say in that reporting when they had hammered this out? Because it's also worth noting that this way that Jeremy Peña's season has gone, the way that he has produced a all-star caliber season, has definitely changed the math on what his next contract looks like.
It says it was in serious long-term contract talks. This is Heyman saying this in a tweet. Before his recent switch to Scott Boras.
Okay, so that would seem to imply that it's recent, like weeks as opposed to maybe months, where I was thinking maybe it was early on in the season, maybe before the season they had started getting close. And then as he had played better, maybe they took the time off, and then he got to a place where he's like, nah, we in the money-making business now.
And he went on to say, these talks are now on hold.
Yeah, I bet.
So it went from 5 years, 106. What is Scott Boras going to throw out there? What are we going to get a report on?
Oh, my goodness. I hadn't even really considered that. I need to
30 a year?
I need to go and look at that.
Right now it's a little over 20, right?
Yeah.
21?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he having a good year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing was, it would be, how sustainable do you think this level of play is from Pena? Because some people, and I imagine this might be the Astros' contention in trying to make the argument, would contend that, well, this is a really good season, but who he probably more likely is closer to what we had previously seen, whereas I imagine Scott Boras is like, nah, this is who he is now.
Yeah.
You need to pay him accordingly.
That's the tough part on the Astros part. You trying to figure out what Pena is this.
Mm-hmm.
Are we willing to pay for this year's Pena, or is this going to drop off once we pay him?
But see, that would be, you know, playing, putting the Scott Boras hat on. My contention would be, yeah, he dipped a little bit, but he didn't suck. You know, he didn't just fall off a cliff.
From an agent point,
yeah.
You like, nah,
yeah.
Like, nah, it's going to go up more than this.
And oh, by the way, AL Series MVP, World Series MVP. Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be in the 30. It's going to be right around $30 million a year.
To get paid something like, I mean, if we're talking about average annual value in the 30s, that feels like that would be around what maybe like a, I mean, for a significantly longer deal, mind you, right? We're talking about 12, 10-year deals around a Mookie Betts, Rafael Devers, Manny Machado type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even Trey Turner. Does that feel like that's somewhat accurate to what you feel like Jeremy Pena is delivering for you?
It feels a little rich, but then you look at his numbers right now. He's got the second best, is it WAR, behind Aaron Judge in all of baseball right now.
Confidence level that Crane would pay
in
that range that you're hypothesizing, that $30 million, maybe if we keep it to a
it's got to be 6 years. Somehow. Yeah, yeah. I think the confidence level's relatively high for 6 years.
If they keep it to that. But Scott Boras, I mean, especially if you have striking while the iron is hot with the way that Jeremy Pena has played, could he be trying to push for a longer deal as well?
6 years, $180 million. That's what Boras is going to be looking at. Well, that's what the Astros probably would be their cap. Yeah.
Man, that now you're starting to talk about, like, what is the timeline? And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but what is the timeline on Jeremy Pena remaining with the Astros? Because if the number gets exorbitant, and usually if the years get kind of wild, and I know Scott Boras understands that about this team as well, do you get to a place where you need to trade him sooner rather than later to extract maximum value?
Here we go again.
Man. And do you have the infielders to make up for that, right? Because it seems like Bryce Matthews is getting close to being a guy that could play for you. Maybe even next season he's holding down a starting spot in the middle infield. But it feels like you got a starting spot open at second base, unless you want Mauricio Dubon.
Yeah.
Do you feel like he's now your everyday second baseman after what he's done this year? And we're far ahead of, you know, we're way over our skis now, but you now have to start thinking in that long term with this wrench that's been thrown in the machine. I imagine Dana Brown's got to be sick. He felt like he was getting, one, the explosion from Jeremy Pena, and two, an opportunity to sign up long term, and all of a sudden here you go and this is going the entire opposite way.
I mean,
a pick six.
It sounds weird to say steal at $106 million in 5 years.
That would have been a steal.
But it feels like a baseball
steal.
That
was somewhat like a Yordan type of...
And that's probably what happened. I mean, even, you know, his friends on the team, you mentioned Jose Altuve, who's represented by Scott Boras.
Yeah.
He might have said, hey, man.
Man, they trying to get you, man.
Yeah, be careful with that. Let me give you Scott's number. I could see something like... Or another player. I mean, who knows? But it could have been something along those lines for sure. And keep in mind, Fromber's out there too.
And Fromber is just, at this point, Fromber's going to walk, right? I don't know that you're going to get him, hit him with the money that is necessary. You're not trading him at the deadline.
No. They're in first place. Yeah. They have a chance to contend with him.
Yeah. And look at the run that he's on right now. I mentioned it earlier. 9 starts, 1.89 ERA. We saw what he did last night. So you got that to contend with as well.
Price of the brick keeps going up.
Yeah.
The burden of success for the Astros, that's the navigation that they need to make. Ultimately, I don't know that I'm going to be wildly upset if Jeremy Pena is no longer the team. I understand the machinations and the inputs that get you to a place in future years where he might have to be gone. It would very, very much make me sick if you look up and he walks like Bregman, like Correa, like Springer, like many before him.
I would be a little upset because, I mean,
at that point, what are we doing? We just a farm system?
Well, we've asked the question on this show very recently, you know, how much of this can you withstand?
Yeah.
You know, your middle infield is already sort of second base is shaky. I mean, shout out to Dubon. He's playing incredible baseball, but it's already sort of like unpredictable. And then you go shortstop. I mean, what do you call it? The backbone?
of your spine of the defense,
the spine
right
of
in the middle.
Defense, yeah.
Does that work in baseball in the same way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I think absolutely it does. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Another Astros note, although definitely in my opinion a lot less. Wake Forest is hiring a alum of the Wake Forest, but also the Houston Astros director of pitching, Eric Neeson, as the school's new pitching coach. So he will, you know, he'll go to the college ranks and leave the Astros. I saw this and I was like, I don't know what to make of this, because I mean the title of director or like pitching coordinator, director of pitching, kind of made me go, the Astros have been very good at developing pitching, and does he have some level of impact in that? So I reached out to somebody who kind of was leaning to the idea of, I don't know that he's all that important in the individual, because you talk to players and his name doesn't apparently come up per se.
It sounds like he's an analytics guy with the pitching. Like he's more of a, not scout, but sort of like knows what pitches work for each pitcher, you know, what the analytics say. Now that does help. That has helped.
Well, he was a pitching coach in the minor leagues of the system when he joined in 2021 and obviously has worked his way up. So it feels like he has maybe more of that baseball perspective, but it does. It also, I don't know that this is going to, at least I'm not taking this to mean that, oh my goodness, you're getting a real chip in the block that has been the pillar that has been the Astros' ability to develop and make better pitching.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously you wish him the best to go, you know, going to Wake Forest. Hopefully it's successful. And in a weird way, I hope that you were not as foundational, load bearing to what the Astros do pitching wise.
Yeah.
Because it has been important to them, and it continues to appear to be important to what's happening with this team. So there you go. That's what's popping. And finally, I guess I'll hit you with this. We are watching, I think, are you watching the draft? Because
I'll watch
NBA draft tonight. Yeah. Cooper Flagg is obviously slated to be the number one overall pick to Dallas. There's a number of really interesting players that are involved in this. But speaking about Cooper Flagg, this is an interesting story by what's my man's name? The White Mamba,
Brian Scalabrine.
Yeah.
Cause I always think of him as the White Mamba, but this is Scalabrine. If you are looking at Cooper Flagg and going, about how good is it? This is Brian Scalabrine talking about finding out, or when he first met Cooper Flagg.
So I'm really close to Matt McKenzie. That's his trainer up in Maine. I've ran camps for him. I've been up there. He claimed that he was a 13-year-old that would play against the UMaine kids, 22, 23 years old. And so I'm like, I call him out on his BS, right? Like, there's no way. There's no way that a 13-year-old can hang with guys like that. He said, no, he would hang for 15 minutes. He'd get kind of dominated, but the last 15 minutes, he'd be the best player on the floor. Hell no. So I go invite him in. I have prospect, D1 prospect, high-level high school players. I have some Division I players and me, like former pro, right? And this is like not where I'm at now, but back in the day. So he comes down, sure enough, man, like, he dominated the run. We played this 8-second game where you got to get a shot off in 8 seconds, and it floors everybody because it's hard to process that fast. He won 8 games in a row, and I was at that point, I'm like, dude, you're an NBA player.
So yeah, he's talking about he's an NBA player. He's comparing a 13-year-old to NBA guys, and of course, then he connects them with USA Basketball and Duke. So Scalabrine at age 13 is like, yeah, no, this dude's an NBA player. That's what you're looking at. But we did mention the Rockets. The reporting is they could trade back in to try and get somebody. How confident are you in that?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm watching to see what happens. And I'd probably be late first round, maybe mid, but probably late first round. But also just the top of the draft. You know, I would like to see the first 4 or 5 guys go see what they look like and where they go, obviously.
Okay. I'm kind of curious to see what Brooklyn going to do, man.
Yeah,
I wonder if they're going to jump up to, I don't know, if they're going to jump up to 3 or 2. Mm-hmm. Or
well, 3 is the most interesting thing to watch tonight because, you know, you mentioned Flagg. Dylan Harper is going to go to the Spurs at 2, and then all of a sudden, what's Ace Bailey? You know, that guy's been, his stock has been falling, but somebody might fall in love with him.
Yeah, that is possible. Ace Bailey, the interesting story with him is that he's notoriously declined a lot of workouts and was supposed to meet with the Sixers, who have the 3rd pick, and then didn't show up. So he's a wild card. We'll see what happens there, but yeah, that's what's happening tonight in the draft. And of course, the Astros back in action against the Phillies. I believe it's Colton Gordon on the mound for your Astros tonight. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I do this every offseason to get myself ready for the upcoming season, which is rewatching the previous season game by game to get myself a little bit of a refresher. So I have some notes. I want to take you through some of the things that I took away from that game and maybe see what week one.
Let's go.
Week 1 at Indy versus for the Texans. And I'll give you my recap notes next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.